Acts chapter 6, if you would please, today. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, we're going to read responsively verses 1 through 7 today. And I'll read out loud by myself on the odd verses, and you can join me out loud on the even verses. And I'll begin in verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So as we talk about this today, I want to paint a picture for you, and I think you'll understand as we go along. But I want to take that phrase, kind of for the title, if you will, where the disciples say that they wanted to give ourselves continually to prayer. And I want you to understand the depth of this statement. Okay? So here you have, and I know the main understanding of this, the leaders of the church, the 12, the called, well, the 11, and then you have Matthias and all that. But these guys wanted to do what Christ told them to do. Fulfill the Great Commission. If you will, take care of the church and love the church and nurture the church and see the church to grow. And by the way, in no way, shape, or form is this a get out of free card for the pastor not to do any work around the church. Okay, I just want you to know that, and especially your pastor. I ain't doing that, okay? Now, if it does cut into my time of studying and preparation, then yes, we're going to have a problem and we're going to need some help. But I want you to understand that this is not just so the pastor can say, well, I'm sorry, I need to be studying the word instead of waiting on tables, okay? You know this, pastor, I'm going to be waiting on tables and studying the word of God. I'll do both of them. So I may do it at the same time even sometimes. You never know. Now, here's the thing. But the sentiment was, folks, church, we want you all to participate. And there shouldn't be any murmuring in the church. Nobody should be unhappy that they're not getting cared for. By the way, all of you have a place in our local church to help care for one another. And there shouldn't be anybody that feels like they're neglected and not cared for. We all could step up to the plate on that one, can't we? And we all can help serve one another. By the way, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to pray for one another, serve one another. Boy, if you need a coat, I'll give you one of mine. If you need a place to come for Thanksgiving, come to my house. You know, that's how it should be, right? And there shouldn't be any orphans or widows or anybody that's neglected in daily ministration. That's the church should come together and do that. Now, with that said, but I want you to see what happens here. When we give ourselves continually to prayer, when we say, this is more important than this for us to do. By the way, I hope that prayer has ascended on your list of priorities to where you're saying, this is more important to do than this. This is important. And so they said that we need to give ourselves to prayer, continually to prayer, and we need to give ourselves to the studying of the Word of God and the the learning of the Word of God and, the, if you will, the ministry of the Word. And by the way, the saying pleased the people. They said, yeah, that makes sense. You're the pastors, you're the leaders of the church, and yeah, you should do this. And so, yeah, we can take care of that. We can find some guys that meet these requirements to help serve and to help make the church work and et cetera. And this is, so I want you to understand that when they did this, when they accomplished this, the Bible says that the Word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied, and a great company of the enemy came to Jesus Christ. You understand that the priests, if you will, were the kind of the enemy. Now, we didn't label them that, or Jesus didn't label them that. They labeled themselves as the enemies of Christ. Because they denied him, and they rejected him, and they crucified him, and et cetera, right? So, but you understand that because this happened in the church, there was a great result because of it. So let me just say this in your life and in my life, and then we'll get to the meat of the message here. But if we will give ourselves continually to prayer, we'll see great results in our life. Bottom line, do you see the connection there? They said we need to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And guess what happened? When they did that, the results took place. You want to see results in your prayer life? You want to see results in your Christian life? Give yourself to prayer. Now, let's decide what this phrase means. So the word give had like 50 definitions. You know, the word give is kind of a broad word, right? Here, I'd like to give someone... Oh, what do I have here? Ooh. I have money. A dollar. Right? I'm going to give a dollar. Right? So I'm going to pass it from me to... Nobody's jumping up. I can't believe that. Brother Parks is. He's waving his hand back there. Okay. This dollar's for Brother Parks. Okay. No. I want to give this... I want to pass it from me to you. That's one definition of the word give, right? And by the way, this, if you will, that's probably the most common definition to give or to pass. Sometimes it means to like throw or to, you know, transfer something. I'll put that in there. That's the general form of the word give. Now, there's all kinds of things that the word give can illustrate or tend to. But in this particular case, I want to make the case for this. Get you to think about what this means in our lives. One of the definitions for the word give was to yield. To yield. Or to lend, or in the phrase to give ear, which signifies to listen or to hear. It also means to quit. Okay? Or if you will, in the phrase to give place, which signifies you're going to withdraw, or retire, or if you will, make room for another. So think about these definitions. Another definition of it is to confer, or to grant, or to expose, or to yield to the power of, and then fourth, fifth, whatever number we're on, it also means to addict, or attract, or attach to. Like to give yourself. So when it says we want to give ourselves to prayer, we're giving up, right? We're yielding. We are, if you will, giving over or giving place to prayer. I am saying, prayer, you can have me. So instead, where'd it go? Come back here. Maybe we should up it to $10. Would people be more excited about a $10 bill? Oh, Nathan is now. Now I got your interest. I don't have anything higher, buddy. I'm sorry. I got five. I got a couple ones. Mrs. Combs gets all the big ones, so she gets all the hundreds. And
Anyways. I'm going to give myself to prayer. I want me to be given to prayer. Now, so think of it in that sense. I'm going to attach myself to prayer. I'm going to give place to prayer. I'm going to give over to or yield to prayer. Or let me just say this. Go to Exodus, if you would, if you'd like to. Exodus, and then we're going to look at a couple of places where this actual term, give ourselves or give yourself to prayer, exists in our scriptures. By the way, it exists a few times, so we should pay attention to them. But I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 21. I want you to look at verses 5 and 6. It's also recorded later again as Moses repeats the law in Deuteronomy. But this is the sentiment that I want you to take with you today as you think about, am I going to give myself to prayer? Am I going to yield? Am I going to give over? Am I going to give up, if you will, or to, if you will, make room for it, or be addicted to, or attached to, or withdraw, or make room for, or yield to the power of prayer? So think about this. Look at Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. It says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Okay, so this is the part where if someone has a servant and his time is up or his freedom is earned or given, and he says, I don't want to go. I want to stay. I love you. I love my children. I love my place here. I love my job. I love what I do. I don't want to leave. It says here that his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, this is a great passage of scripture. Okay? So what they would do is they would take a piece of metal, basically, an awl, and they would take and they would bring him to the doorpost, you know, like this, and they'd take a hammer and they'd whack that piece of metal through the ear. And it would dangle there, it would hang there as a signification that they chose this. The master didn't choose it. Nobody sold them into slavery, if you will. They weren't stolen. They weren't abused, etc. They wanted this. They gave themselves to it. See, it wasn't, they wouldn't, the judges wouldn't bind them up and chain them and drag them over and to the door. And this wasn't some malicious thing. I think this was a very sweet and just a beautiful ceremony. He said, how can that be beautiful? Well, it was. Because of the love that servant had for the master, they gave themselves over to it. They wanted it. And they wanted to be a servant forever because of their love to it. Folks, I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to get you to think of with this thing of prayer. It's not just superficial. It's not just a thing we do. It's something that we give ourselves to. We go over to the doorpost and we let somebody take a hammer and drive an awl through our ear because we love it. That's what I want your prayer life to be. That's what God wants your prayer life to be. He, by the way, you understand that he says pray without ceasing. How can you do something without ceasing that you don't love? By the way, the disciples said, we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer. How can you do something continually that you don't love? Moses says that when this happens, he shall serve him forever. continually, without ceasing. It does not end. By the way, I told you we're drawing to the close of the year, and I hope that you've maybe even taken time to read carefully the verses of that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How can you shout while rising through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer, if it's not sweet to you? If it's not something you love? If it's not something you have attached yourself to with a piece of metal? Now, I don't want you all coming through here with pieces of metal driven through your ear, all right? We're not going to have an all driving service, you know. I can get a doorpost up here and we can get some. And I got hammers. You can choose your size of hammer, all right? But do you see the connection here? And let me just say this. The disciples, they loved the church. They loved Christ. They loved the people. And they said, look, there's a murmuring here. There's a problem here. We must stay focused. We must give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Guys, this is important for our church. It's important for our Christian lives. It's important for our success. And by the way, was it? I believe that the results say it was. That there was the word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why? Because they were able to give themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. So do we want results in our lives or not? Do we want answers to prayer or not? Well, I'm just saying today that if we don't give ourselves to prayer, if we don't, if you will, indenture ourselves or attach ourselves to it, we're not going to get anywhere. It'll just be the same old, but if we'll learn to serve it with a love and be attached and choose to be attached to it forever, when it becomes something we do without ceasing, when it becomes something we do continually, when it becomes the first thing we think of at every moment of every day, then we've given ourselves continually to prayer. That's what that phrase signifies. How many of you have read through the Psalms? All right, you're good. You've read through the Psalms. Do you see David as someone given to prayer? I do. I mean, how many times does it say, hear my cry, right? Give ear to my prayer. God, where are you? Are you listening? You know, over and over and over and over and over again. Psalm 109, go there. Psalm 109. This is one of the first instances of this in our scriptures. Psalm 109. Now, I'm going to read this whole psalm to you. It's 31 verses, but it's worth reading. But I want you to hear David's attachment to prayer. And that's what I'm proposing today to you, is that to give ourselves continually to prayer means to be attached to it. To become a slave to it, if you will, and one that wants to be there for love of it. Everybody okay with that and understand that? So this is what we're talking about. Listen to David's voice here. He says this, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. By the way, first of all, who's he coming to? He's coming to God. In prayer, right? It's a solemn address to the supreme being. Everybody okay with that? This is a prayer of David. This is what David is praying. He's saying, God, listen to me. Consider my cause. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. So look what it says. He says, I love these, he says, for my love, they are my adversaries. So in other words, his love, whether it's his love of God, his love of country, his love of people, his love of his family, whatever, but because of his love for something, they hate him. And then he says, I give myself to prayer. So David here says, this is important to me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to subject myself to prayer. I'm going to attach myself to prayer. I'm going to be, if you will, a servant here because of my love. But he says, I give myself to prayer. He goes on to say this. He says, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. By the way, if you think about this, when we pray for something and give ourselves to something, we're going to be rewarded sometimes by hatred. Because by the way, when you go in all in for something, yea, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to come, and that's okay. But let me just say something. You need to make a choice, and you need to stick with it. David stuck with it. He said, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none that extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them before the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his own bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them when they looked upon me. They shake their heads. Help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed. But let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Now think about that. Does that sound like someone who has given themselves to prayer? It does. He's very adamant about his request, right? But he's also very adamant about the outcome. What he wants accomplished. And by the way, he doesn't want these people punished just for because they hurt him. He wants them punished because they're against the Lord. So he's given himself to God. If you will, he is purely and motivationally a servant of the God forever. He's attached to it. And he is a servant to it. And he said that he had given himself to prayer. In David's life, we see whether good or bad, he goes to God in prayer. If he wants to praise God because of blessings, he goes to God in prayer. If he wants to curse his enemies and to get them punished and so that God can be magnified, he goes to God in prayer. He's attached to prayer. We see David's life that He's continually in this state of prayer. If you will, he's living out Thessalonians where it says, pray without ceasing. Or if you will, as it says in Philippians 4, in everything by prayer. Folks, if we don't give ourselves to prayer, how can we say those things? I'm praying without ceasing. I'm continually in prayer. By the way, a few more verses about this as far as continuance. It says that in First Thessalonians, I told you that 5:17 says pray without ceasing. Chapter 2 says, Paul says, we for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. He says, we do this without ceasing. By the way, if you look at the Apostle Paul's life, if you look at Peter's life, if you look at what were they always doing? Praying for people. Praying for circumstances. When they were ministering throughout Asia and they want to go further, the vision said, don't go. And then they waited until one said, go here. And they went to Macedonia. You understand that there was all, this was always part of their lives. The apostles said, look, we understand the widows and orphans are important. So let's put some holy men, let's put some godly men in charge of this to take care of the tables and to do the daily ministering so that we can give ourselves to prayer, so that people can be encouraged, so that the word of God can increase, so that the disciples can increase, so that the priests can be saved. By the way, you see that they had a care and a love for the priests, the very ones that crucified their Lord. By the way, you can't do that unless you're continually in prayer. You see, even David in some of his prayers that he prayed, he didn't always want his enemies to be destroyed. Sometimes he wanted God to change their hearts. You understand, we've got to think about where we are in prayer. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul says this phrase, till I come, give attendance to reading. Remember what the disciples said? They said that we want to give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministering of the word. Folks, we've got to give ourselves to these things. How attached are you to prayer? How attached are you to the Bible? Do you give yourself to it? Or does it belong to you? Think about that. Who's the owner? Does the word of God have you? Or do you have the word of God? Does prayer have you? Or do you have prayer? Who's the master? Which one is the one with the awl driven through the ear? We need to give ourselves to prayer. We're the ones that are subservient to it. Does this book own you? Does prayer, if you will, own you? Or do you own it? You see, when we give ourselves to something, we are the gift, right? We're the $10 being given. And that's what we need to have as an attitude. We don't own prayer, folks. We need to be the servant to it. We need to be the one where it's our master, if you will. By the way, doesn't the Holy Spirit even speak for us when we don't know how to speak? We don't know what to say. So that already tells us we're not in control of it. You've got to understand that we need to be the ones that are given to these things. Now, just a few, another passage. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Because Samuel was dedicated to the Lord, he was given to the Lord, right? Samuel was attached to the ministry, wasn't he? His mom gave him back to the God. The God that gave him to her. And she said, I'm going to put him in this place. I'm going to give him to the ministry. And Samuel was given to it. And by the way, Samuel did a great job throughout his life as a servant of God. And he was given to the ministry when Eli didn't, when Hophni and Phinehas didn't, all this stuff. This is what was real in his life. Look at verse 22 through 24 in Samuel 12.
It says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So by the way, if he said, God forbid that I should sin against God in ceasing to pray. So what does that mean about him? He was always praying for them. Because he said it'd be a sin for me to stop. So if it's a sin for him to stop, what does that mean he's already doing? Praying for them without ceasing. By the way, Samuel was given to prayer. He was given to prayer. Because if he stopped, he'd be sinning against God. Again, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. So we need to addict ourselves to prayer. We need to addict ourselves to the ministry of the Word. We need to addict ourselves to being servants of the Most High God, seeking His face, praying in the Holy Spirit, doing all the things that we've talked about, following the model prayer, all the things about prayer need to be our service to God. Because we're the servant. And we've chosen it because of love. You know, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says things like, but when ye pray, you notice he said, not if ye pray. So he says, servants, when ye pray, do this. So he's telling us how to pray. In other words, prayer belongs to him, and he wants us to use it. He wants us to be given to it. He wants us to make it part of our lives. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us, this is an interesting passage of Scripture, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. It's talking about the relationship of husband and wife. But I want you to listen to this, and many of you know this because of the last verse here in verse 5. But I'm going to read this to you. It says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have their own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. So what is that talking about? That's that submission thing, right? Where we're submitting ourselves or giving ourselves to service, by the way, out of love. Husbands love your wives. Wives are supposed to love their husbands, etc. And so it says this, that the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. So he says this, defraud ye not one the other. And then he says this curious thing, except it be with consent for a time. Now listen to this. Why? Why is there this space or this pause or this exception to this relationship? So that you can, you know, do this or do that, right? What thing is it for to emphasize or to uplift or to bring to the forefront? Soul winning? You know, cleaning the church? Coming to paint the church or do remodeling? No? Your own adventures, your own exploits, your own ideas. No. But what is mentioned here is to give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Wow. How many of you that just blows you away? Yeah, there's this space given in a marriage relationship to magnify or to uplift or bring to the forefront fasting and prayer. Folks, specifically fasting and prayer. By the way, can a couple pray together and fast together and do? Yes, they can. But there's this space given to this special thing of fasting and prayer. It's amazing. That's how special this thing is. To give ourselves to prayer.
I don't think that this is a stretch at all for this phrase. Actually, I think it's straight on. I've read many of the different, by the way, these three times in Psalm 109 and in 1 Corinthians and in Acts are the times where it technically says, give myself or give ourselves to prayer. But I want you to understand that this is a very deep and special thing. Just as much as a servant coming to his master and saying, I don't want to go free. I love you. I love my family. I love this thing. And I want to give myself to this. And that's how special our relationship with prayer must become. By the way, the results are real. The word of God will increase. The disciples will increase. A great multitude of the priests will come to Christ. This is a real thing. If we will addict ourselves to prayer, attach ourselves to prayer, yield ourselves to the power of prayer, lend ourselves to prayer, give ear, if you will, or withdraw or retire, give up or make room for prayer. If we will do these things and get that hammer out and get that doorpost, get to the doorpost and drive that all through our ear and give ourselves willingly to prayer, we'll see great things happen in our lives. Because not only will our brain be affected, our mind, but our heart will be affected through prayer.